The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
Cannot stop looking at how the Nuggets played this out last night. Cannot stop looking at Bob Ryan looking at how the Nuggets played this out last night. Ramona, Sarah, Monica, let's go around the horn. This is a wellness check on Mr. Bob Ryan. In the 40-plus years post three-pointer, it's never been as bad for you, huh? Let's talk about it. Down two. It's a four-on-one break. Nobody goes anywhere near the wide-open basket. The three doesn't fall. Nuggets lose to the Wizards. That's it, Bob. That's all I'm going to say. Is this just basketball now, or is this a sin against Dr. Naismith himself?
Three-point shot was the brainchild of a promoter, Abe Saperstein. Yes, the Globetrotters guy, who put it in his American Basketball League in 1961. It was picked up by the Eastern League in 62. It was picked up by the ABA in 66. It was picked up by the NBA in 79. It was picked up by the colleges in 86. It is the worst thing to happen to basketball in my lifetime. It has infested the game. It has distorted the game at every level. And we have generations now, plural, of players who have grown up knowing nothing else. They've been instructed how to play a game in a backwards way. And you saw last night the culmination of this abomination known as the three, in which Michael Porter Jr. did not have the good sense, because he has known nothing else his whole life. He's been instructed what to do, not to go to the basket for an unmolested dunk or a two to tie the game and get him in overtime, and Washington would have no time left to retaliate. But he stands and lurks in the corner, and the other guy in the wing, and this is this is it. This is the Daryl Morification of basketball at its worst.
Woo!
Thank you.
All right, so we'll be back on Monday, 71.5-hour break. Ramona Shelburne, watching it play out. I mean, yes, we could all agree the shot didn't fall. It was a failure of execution. But what the Nuggets did last night, how bad is this?
That's pretty bad. I mean, Michael Malone, after the game, the coach of the Nuggets, he just basically summed it all up, and he goes, I mean, like, three other guys had a layup. Wide open layup. So do I get 26 points like Bob?
No, you didn't give me the history. I want to hear the history of it all.
Look, I mean, you're right. That is the Daryl Morification of basketball. That was a great term. I'm going to steal that in one of my columns. But, yeah, look, the Nuggets haven't been great this year, though, guys. Like, it's not that surprising. They had a great run last year in the playoffs. They were knocking on the door. It seemed like this was the year they're going to make this jump. And that play right there is kind of why they're not. Like, they're right above 500. They're not taking off. It's actually the Utah Jazz, the team that the Nuggets beat last year in the playoffs, who are taking off. And this is why. Look, it's not just that he passed it to the guy for three, to Campazzo for three. It's a terrible pass. I mean, he hit him in the shins. Yeah. It was a bad shot. Ugh.
Sarah, is this just the game now, or is this a sin against the game of basketball?
Man, at first I was going to complain about not putting Bob on a minutes restriction, but then I actually kind of liked his Ken Knox documentary, other than the fact that I don't think it's an abomination of the three itself. It's the way we treat the three as part of the game, or perhaps the focus of the game instead of part of it. Now I'm more annoyed at Ramona for being like, this is expected. This should not be expected from even the very worst team in the league, not to mention when hovering around 500. Even if you wanted to go for the three and get the win instead of trying to force overtime, someone should still be at the bucket for the tip-in. What are we doing? The three being the best shot that the other team gives you is the excuse I can argue for why you might go for a win instead of a tie. But not when the open lane is waiting for you and nobody goes to it. To Bob's point, this is that thing where everybody wants to be Steph Curry, and we do think the analytics are telling us that's a better shot than a couple steps in front, but not on a breakaway 3-on-1 with the lane open.
Hey.
I sound like Bob.
All right, there we go. Monica nuts. Was this just the way the game is now, or sin against humanity?
Although Bob's rant was a little too spicy for me, as my career hinged very much on my ability to knock down shots behind the arc, it's not an abomination against the three, but this is an abomination to basketball lovers. Come on, man. As much as I love three-point shooting, and I don't mind three-point shooting in transition in particular, but you needed three guys to spot up from behind the arc? Yeah. One of y'all couldn't cut to the basket? What are we doing here? I will also spin this. The Wizards have now won six in a row. They were this close to not getting that win yesterday.
Oh, there she is, her third career show, and she's already going homer on us. Take a mute right here, McNutt. The conversation this week, ever since the Anthony Edwards dunk, and the well actually to the Anthony Edwards dunk, was nerds are ruining sports. Sarah, is this example of that?
No, because I don't think these basketball guys were thinking nerds in their head. Yeah. They were thinking, gonna be the hero, can't wait for the highlight, kicking the three for the win, instead of being like, let me go ahead and take care of this two that we need, and then we can figure it out in no time.
Ramona?
You know, I don't know if I see that. I think it's tunnel vision. Like, I'm just looking at Michael Porter Jr. I think he goes, oh, I'm supposed to run down to the corner. And he just wasn't looking at the rest of the what his other teammates were doing, right? And that happens on this show. I mean, Bob just talked for 7 minutes about the, you know, it happens. I do.
Monica, how about you?
Can ever tell
is
me
this, is this an example of nerds ruining basketball?
No, not for me. This is just smart basketball. And I will say, you got to differentiate nerds, as in folks that just read box scores, and folks that actually are obsessive over the game of basketball.
Mm-hmm. Last word, Mr. Bob Ryan. Finish us out.
I'm not troubled by this. I don't see the connection in this particular instance. There's other ones we could cite. Mm-hmm. I'm sorry.
We'll move on. Toronto Raptors willing to trade Kyle Lowry to a preferred destination if they get something in value in return? That's in the Philly Inquirer. Keith Pompey is reporting that. Sixers, Clippers, Heat teams Pompey named in the article. Ramona, does it make sense for Toronto to trade Lowry?
Well, they might need him to coach tonight because half their coaching staff is in the health and safety protocols. And yeah. I don't know who else they have, but if I was choosing a player coach, I'd go with Kyle Lowry. Look, he's a fan favorite. He's an icon. I mean, I think if they're going to build a statue of somebody in Jurassic Park one day, it'll be Kyle Lowry. I mean, that's how important he is to this franchise. I can't even think of the Raptors without Kyle Lowry. So it's hard just on an emotional level to think about that. But they know more than any other team in this league how much high-end talent matters when you want to win a championship. And if they feel like they have enough of it this year to make a run, they should keep him. But if they don't feel like they have enough of that superstar talent to really challenge for a championship this year, that Kyle Lowry's value is very high. All those teams you name would pay a lot for him. He's a Philly guy, you know? He went to Villanova. I mean, that would be a great fit right there, and he actually could be a missing piece for one of those contenders.
So gut reaction. Is this going to happen before the trade deadline in a couple weeks, Ramona?
I'd be surprised, but I would never be surprised with anything Masai Ujiri does, right? Because Masai, to me, is a gambler. I mean, he traded for Kawhi Leonard knowing he wasn't going to stay. Worked out.
Bob Ryan?
I look at this couple possibilities here. If they want to trade him, to me, it tells me that they're waving a white flag possibility. Or they're saying, this Eastern Conference is so jumbled this year, it's so mediocre, it's so available to us to go somewhere that we can withstand without him and get some assets, if that's what they're going to get, assets. But I'm surprised to hear all this. But for him, it wouldn't be a bad deal if he were to go to Philadelphia, hometown boy, Villanova, born and raised in Philly. He had the embrace of the fans. I think he'd be very popular.
Monica?
Well, I've got to agree with Ramona in that Kyle Lowry is as much as a part of the Raptors organization as anybody. So I think the thing that makes this unique is if it can end amicably and both parties end up happy. I got to say, though, we talk about Masai Ujiri. I thought about this. Is there a world in which Masai ends up with an organization that possibly ends up landing Kyle Lowry and all this? And then I don't know about waving the white flag. I think, quite honestly, the Nets are starting to play some defense. It's going to be tough for anybody in the East. I wouldn't say that it's a full-on white flag, but it is definitely looking like it's the Nets East.
Well, Toronto had a terrible start, and they really brought it back recently, and Fred VanVleet's been outstanding for them and maybe their best player now. Sarah Spain, I'll bring you in here on Lowry. Should Toronto entertain trading him?
Yeah, you and Monica both just set me up perfectly because this is in two pieces. The basketball side, which is, you know, they are finally starting to pick things up. Are they going to look at the way there was a short offseason and a bad start and say, we believe that we have the pieces to keep contending going forward? All we got to do is add more to be able to be who we want. This is clearly the team that's understood in the past. Sometimes you have to go out and make that big swing in order to get past that hump. But the emotional side is whether or not they can split ways with Lowry, send him somewhere he wants to go, and soften the blow of yet again sending away a fan favorite and the face of the franchise.
Another story that I want to get your take on. New Atlanta Dream ownership. Renee Montgomery is breaking the news.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so you may have seen, but if you have not seen, I am now the co-owner of the Atlanta Dream, and I'm so excited. I have so much to say.
The first former player to be part of a WNBA ownership group. She just retired weeks ago. She took off last year for social justice concerns, but she was a star for this franchise. Kelly Loeffler's time as an NBA owner, by the way, over. Sarah, what has Renee Montgomery just done?
This is so fantastic. She is a favorite on Spain and Fitz, and she came on throughout the pandemic, throughout the wobble, and now she retires and becomes the first former player to be not only an ownership but an executive. We are seeing the changing face of ownership in women's sports across the NWSL and now the WNBA, and the key is not just the decision-making, the way it can help change the practices that we're so used to, but it's also changing diversity in pro sports at the very highest level and where it can trickle down from there in terms of hirings, in terms of changing the practices, in terms of investment, so that women's sports are invested in by the very people that know them best. This is massive, and she is the perfect person for this as a voice for it, as a speaker, as a player, and as a business person. This is huge, and I hope it opens up other professional franchises, not just in women's sports, to understand the power of diversity at the top.
Monica McNutt.
Man, no one is better than Renee to have this opportunity. She has really built a whole brand, aside from being a basketball player, over the course of the summer, because she's curious, genuinely. She's one of the most genuine people in the league. It could not have happened during a better month in terms of February. Black history right here in front of us. But what I will say about Renee is, she loved playing for that Atlanta Dream squad, and she loved her teammates. Even though she wasn't there last year, she was in constant communication with them. The amount of work that went into the campaign, you got to think about the entire arc of this story, from the Vote Warnock tease to the conversations that were never actually had with Kelly Loeffler to the point that we're in now. Talk about owning and stepping into your power. This is a tremendous example.
Bob Ryan.
If you didn't know who the Atlanta Dream were 6 months ago, you surely do now. You think about the things that have happened, a stage of revolt against your owner in the midst of a political campaign, basically win the battle, and then have this whole thing culminate with one of the great players in their history and an exemplary human being becoming an owner in a historic way, in a groundbreaking way. Boy, I mean, that's really something, and I salute them all around. I salute all those players for what they did, and I forgot to congratulate Renee Montgomery and her partners now, and I hope things go well for them.
And Ramona Shelburne.
Well, you know, I spoke to Renee after Senator Loeffler basically called out the WNBA and said, I have an objection to you guys, to the league embracing Black Lives Matter, putting it on the court. They had a social justice council. She made that a political issue. And Renee was already sitting out the season, but she felt really personally affected by that because she felt like she knew her. She felt like she knew Kelly Loeffler. She'd been to her house. She had dinners with her. And she never heard anything like that come out of her mouth at the time. And so she said on social media to me, I'm sure she said it to you, Sarah, on the radio show, she said, I just want to talk to her. I just want to know where she's coming from. Let's have a dialogue about this. Those calls were never answered. Kelly Loeffler never spoke to Renee Montgomery about those issues. And now Renee Montgomery is owning the team.
Yeah.
I think they probably talked.
I think they had a dialogue at the negotiation table. We are going to take a break here. Thanks for your thoughts on that. Ramona, you did say something right before we went to air about the negotiation involved with this. You can take us out with that, please.
Sure. Yeah. Well, look, there was a lot of NBA players who stepped into the fray. Baron Davis, LeBron James, Mookie Betts all say, hey, I want to buy the Dream. It's amazing what you guys have done. Now, one thing to remember, you can't actually buy a team when you're a current NBA player, but there was one NBA player who did consider it. Dwight Howard, Atlanta native, actually went to WNBA games with the Dream. There's pictures of him sitting next to Kelly Loeffler. He got very involved in the sale process, but he's still an NBA player. Couldn't do it.
How hard is it to catch a crispy, flaky fish? Depends on how patient you are and what...
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Welcome back to Around the Horn, brought to you by Chase. Coming to you from the Seaport District at Pier 17.
So maybe you had a problem with the way the Nuggets played the last 6 seconds last night, but the way Michigan played, this was some joyful basketball. And they're blowing out everybody now. Hunter Dickinson brought it to Luka Garza last night. Michigan 79, Iowa 57. Momo, buy or sell Michigan now at Gonzaga and Baylor level. Buy or sell them as a favorite going into the tournament.
I'm gonna go buy. Look, there's only one team in the country right now that is top six in offensive and defensive efficiency. It's not Gonzaga, it's not Baylor, it's Michigan. So they use that break to their advantage.
Sarah Spain?
Yeah, it's tough this year. There's not a lot of common opponents. We saw that massive gap in their season. So when you're trying to compare, it makes it tough. They have wins against top 10 teams. Last night, they held Iowa to their lowest point totals across both halves and only 2 3-pointers in the second half. This is a team that should absolutely be in the conversation with those guys.
In the conversation? That's what I'm asking you. Go ahead, Monica McNutt. Tell me the conversation about the conversation.
I'm buying. You got to be all in on this. When you look at the formula across the top three teams, it's multiple guys scoring in double figures and then guys in roles that can fill in hanging around that 8 average. They've played 8 quad one games. They're 7-1. Gonzaga is 7-0 in quad one games, but Michigan has the tougher schedule, is dealing with the tougher conference. They're the team that's going to be most poised to do the damage in the tournament.
Sarah is seething right now at me. I'm sorry, Sarah. Bob Ryan, go ahead.
Hail to Michigan. Listen, I'm on the bandwagon. I think that Dickinson, Livers, and Wagner are as good as any trio any team has in America. They do, as Monica said, play a tougher schedule than almost anybody in the sense of the league that they're playing in, and I'm on board. And Juwan Howard is like the latest great thing in the coaching world.
Holding Luka Garza to 2 of 12 shooting. I mean, that is a defensive performance right there. Speaking of defense, our next story, buy or sell to Ben Simmons.
I do feel like I'm the best defensive player in the league. I can guard 1 through 5.
There you go. He says he's the best defensive player in the league. Sarah, buy or sell?
Well, he's got length, he's got strength, he's got speed, he's got athleticism. He's clearly a versatile defender, and he's got the endorsement of none other than Dwight Howard, who I believe has run Defensive Player of the Year 3 times, who just said, after this most recent performance, I think he's the best defender in the game.
So you're saying he's in the conversation? I kid. Look at this. I cannot
I
get Sarah
that.
Back today. Oh, my goodness. Monica, buy yourself Simmons.
He obviously has the skills to be able to do it, but I don't know that versatility makes you the best. I mean, I think of a guy on his own team in Joel Embiid who is dominating the paint in terms of protecting that area, or Rudy Gobert who's a massive shot blocker. Simmons has been a little sometimey to me. I don't know if I'm impressed with you being able to guard 1 through 5 as much as I can count on you to lock up a certain position.
Bob Ryan.
Well, there's another guy in L.A. who can guard 1 through 5, and there's another guy in L.A. who can guard the forwards as well as Ben Simmons can. And so, I mean, is it? Yeah, it's a little excessively too much self-praise for me.
Ramona.
Look, he said what he said, okay? He said what he said. He's right. He could be. He could be the best defensive player of the game, but he just needs to do it every night. Because Joel Embiid's hearing that going like, oh, okay, Ben. Okay, I do it. You know, like, he's right. But if there's going to be somebody on that team who wins Defensive Player of the Year, it'd probably be Joel Embiid because he does that every night. And that's the thing with Ben. That's always been the thing with Ben.
Picked up Luka 47 times over midcourt.
Yeah.
Held the 10 points. You know, 4 turnovers in that time. All right, Monica, Bob Ryan, this was wonderful today. Sorry to say the weekend starts right now for you guys. Ramona and Sarah. Race for Impact reality. We got a showdown in 2 minutes.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
The streakiest team in college basketball streaking again. Michigan State wasn't even on the bubble last week. Is now beating two top five teams in 3 days enough to get the 13-9 Spartans in. Ramona, Sarah, welcome to Showdown. Try that on for size, Momo.
Look, it's enough to get them in the conversation again, but they got to finish
goodness.
Out. I mean, look,
what
they got four games
doing?
Left, two of them against Michigan. They got to win two, maybe three of those last four games and then not embarrass themselves in the Big Ten tournament. So they can get in, but they got to finish strong.
Unlike Ramona from last segment to this one, it looks like Michigan State has learned a lot since they started off slowly. And so because of that, they've put them absolutely into the tournament, mainly because their record doesn't have to get them in. Tom Izzo does. You get that name and their previous success, and they're obviously a tourney team.
Momo, what are you doing here? We have visual.
I was tempting you.
Yes. Testing me.
Tempting you.
I failed the test last segment. I went to go mute Sarah, and it didn't work. So, we actually have a visual representation of what you just did, Momo. Let's show this. This is what you just did, Ramona. Whoops! That was Matthew Wolf, and he withdrew from the World Golf Championships, Workday Championship, at the concession after his first round, which included that. Sarah, you're a golfer. Is that really that bad?
I want to say yes, because self-evidently it is very bad. Like, we can all see how bad it is. Even us random golfers don't do it. But there was no cut, so he wins $32,000 for being dead last. So I guess it's not all that bad.
Wow. I mean, look, I've done this before in live shots when you're standing out in the field and you don't realize you're live. And then they're asking you questions. You're like, oh, yes, yeah, we're live. Okay, let's do it. And you just got to, he walked it off. He sold it. He didn't, you know.
I feel like you didn't even know we were live during the showdown, Ramona. Sarah Spade, I think we patched all things up here. You're good by me. Take the FaceTime.
Oh, I'm good. Thanks for the W. Listen, a lot of people have noticed that Chicago Bears are straight up thirsty for a quarterback on social media. No shame in our game. Posting photos with Ross, shouting out to Sean. And you may say that we're above that. The answer is we are absolutely not. It's been 71 years with 6 all-pro quarterbacks. In 71 years. We just need someone to come and finally show us what that position is supposed to be played like, and we will do anything. We don't care about the shame. Thirst traps for real.
Well, this was fun today. Also fun being able to wish Mr. Bob Ryan a happy birthday this week. 75! There he is! It doesn't stink, Tony, right? It feels pretty good. Love you, Bob. Thanks, guys. 71 and a half hour break. See you Monday around the horn.